Sister Ave was giving a talk in a parish when a man approached her and...
Right off the bat, huh? How about that? Oh, boy, this is the Morning Quest on AM 1160. The Quest.
Well, where's my intro music?
We're going to have that tomorrow.
Okay.
I promise.
You have something really wonderful to look forward to tomorrow. We're going to give you this whole show in crumbs. That's how it's going to work. Well, I'm excited to be here. My name is Josh Harris. You are tuning in for the inaugural broadcast of The Morning Quest with none other than the incredible Allison DeLuhl, my co-host.
Good morning. I am so happy to be here. We have been at it for a while, so super duper happy that we are here. We made it to the first day.
Yeah, we've been like Marines, man. We've been in training for like 5 months.
Yes.
And this is it. You are getting to see the beginning of the finished product. So we are so happy to be here. And we have such an incredible show lineup for you today. What do we have, Allison, on the docket?
Yeah, we are going to be listening to our wonderful guest, Father Mark White. He's going to be talking about, is Mass considered a worship service? So that's going to be coming up this hour. We also are going to be diving into the Word with Kathy McCormick. She's a parishioner at St. Thomas Aquinas in Alpharetta. We are going to be talking about some other amazing things, especially talking to Greg Amaya. He brings Eucharistic miracles to parishes and schools, and he is going to be at a local parish this Saturday. So can't
wonderful.
Wait to dive into that.
Well, before we dive off the deep end with some incredibly rich just concepts and guests and heroes of the faith, why don't we do the most important thing and open with prayer?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'll just say, Jesus, come and guide us during this hour to best magnify you and your kingdom. As I say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace,
the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou amongst women,
and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
Glory be to the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Amen. And hey, when you are on the inaugural broadcast, you got to go with the greatest hits, okay? We need all the heavy lifters we can get. So Jesus, Mary, all the saints, join us, intercede for us, help us during this hour, and help us bring your truth to the world. Speaking of truth, Allison, did you have a fun weekend? Anchored in the truth. I think you did something pretty fun.
Absolutely. Kathy McCormick here at the station, who also helps us dive into the Word, too, on our show. We actually attended the Fall Festival at Christ Our King and Savior in Greensboro over by Lake Oconee. It was absolutely amazing. And we represented the Quest. What an amazing group of people they have out there. So welcoming, mm-hmm. so hospitable. So we had a great time there connecting with listeners. And also after that, we got to go to Heritage. We met Betsy Orr. She's the founder of Heritage. They do a lot of retreats out there at her, on her properties. And that was the first location where Catholics came from Maryland. They came here to Georgia. And it was absolutely amazing to see the history. So amazing, amazing place to be. And again, they've got conferences and retreats there. So I recommend everybody go up there. It's absolutely beautiful.
Well, that must have been an interesting pilgrimage. And what heroes to step out and bring the faith down here and live it out authentically. That's pretty cool. Well, I had a interesting weekend. I did stand-up comedy at a venue in Bethlehem, Georgia.
Ooh, nice.
Interesting. Bethlehem. Did you know we had a Bethlehem?
I did.
Yeah,
I
guess unlike the original nativity moment in Bethlehem, it might have been missing three wise men, but it was still pretty awesome. And yeah, it was a clean show. One really cool thing is there's a friend of mine who was there. He's Anglican, but he was talking about the Book of Common Prayer, and I was talking about, hey, well, I have the Liturgy of the Hours. So actually before the stand-up show, we prayed Liturgy the Hours together, which was pretty cool. Sometimes you look for those moments to seed your faith, and that was certainly one of them. So absolutely a gift. And then the following day, prepped for something pretty exciting and for a big show. But I will say this, I needed a break and I was making excuses. You really should go to adoration tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And like they say, you know, if you give God 1 hour of your day, he gives you 23 back. So I was super grateful. You know, we are who we hang out with. And, you know, there's not a moment of time you spend in front of that Eucharist that God does not give you eternal rewards back. And I just, you know, again, we got to learn to be, I guess, Mary in a Martha world. So very grateful for that.
Amen. And on that note, Greg Amaya is coming up. Again, he's going to be talking about how he brings Eucharistic miracles to parishes and schools throughout the metro Atlanta area, as well as beyond.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Today we have Greg Amaya with us. He will be talking about how he brings Eucharistic miracles to parishes and Catholic schools here in Georgia and beyond. Welcome to The Quest, Greg.
Thank you, Allison. It's great to be here with you.
I've heard a lot about you. You know, my son was actually at one of the talks that you gave at St. Michael's regarding the Eucharistic miracles. But I know there might be listeners out there, Catholic and non-Catholic, that are not familiar with you and with the actual approved Eucharistic miracles display. So can you kind of give us a little introduction about yourself and about the miracles display?
Well, a little about myself. By God's grace and mercy, I'm a convert to the Catholic faith.
Amen.
I was baptized and confirmed and made my first Holy Communion in 1992, and I came into the church really through Our Lady's intercession. So I'm forever grateful to her.
Praise
I've been
God.
A parishioner at St. Benedict for 25 years. I recently actually just moved to Conyers, Georgia, so I've been going to St. Pius now and St. Anna's here. We have a ministry called Mary Our Mother Foundation. Now, with the Eucharistic revival going on,
yes,
we are focusing on the Eucharistic miracles. And we're taking, as you said, that display. We've been doing it for about 9 years. Really, I would say 6 years, because we lost 3 years with the COVID shutdown.
Yes.
So I've been taking that around. It's been just a huge, huge blessing, because it's actually changing people's lives. So that's what we're doing right now. That's what our focus is on bringing Christ's real presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity, and letting people know that he's really present in the Eucharist.
Amen. And we were speaking before about the revival, the Eucharistic revival, how there is such a lack in the understanding and the belief of the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. So this is definitely the time to be going out there and spreading the news about the truth of the Eucharist. So tell me, you know, what drew you into learning and getting into the Eucharistic miracles display?
Well,
and
you know, there was a gentleman about 12 years ago who used to take the Eucharistic miracles around the Archdiocese here. He did a lot of work. And then there was a period of time where it kind of stopped. And so after about a year, I thought, you know what, maybe we'll just go ahead and do that. So we put out a flyer and to raise money to purchase the panels for the display. And literally within like a week's time, we raised all the money we needed. And we got the display and started taking it around.
Praise God.
And as I said, it's been a huge blessing. It's touching people's lives. I just had it at a parish a few weeks ago over at St. Michael's. The Archangel, they're up there over there.
Yeah, my home parish. Yeah, in Woodstock, Georgia.
Your home
yeah.
parish in Woodstock. And I had a gentleman come up to me and tell me that this display changed his life.
Praise God.
And then I had a woman call me, and she told me how it's changed her daughter's life. And so it's touching people everywhere. And it's helping bringing people back into the church. It's helping those people that are maybe doubting, not really sure if Christ is really present in the Eucharist. And it's confirming and what the church has taught in transubstantiation for the last 2,000 years, that at the words of consecration, the bread and the wine become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. So thanks be to God for all these miracles that he's doing.
Amen. And thanks be to God for you picking up the baton and bringing it out there and bringing it back to life. Because, yeah,
well,
this is essential.
Well, it's been a blessing for myself. It's I know a lot of people get a lot out of it, but I get a lot out of it just taking it to people. So it goes both ways. It's a great blessing for me as well.
Amen. Amen. So when it comes to Eucharistic adoration, you know, like, what touched you in being in the presence of Jesus?
Probably the biggest thing was our whole ministry, the Mary Our Mother Foundation, really came out of my being in the presence of our Lord after Mass and staying afterwards and praying and sitting in a pew and having a very clear call to do a recording, which was the start of our ministry. And so most everything that I've done with ministry has been through prayer. And then once I get that in prayer, I speak to our spiritual director, which is Monsignor Humerin, and I go through him to confirm that we can go ahead and move forward with this. So most all my inspirations with the ministry has been through sitting in front of the Blessed Sacrament, praying. And so that's why I always encourage people to spend a lot of time in prayer. And I tell people to remember that our Lord gave us one mouth, but he gave us two ears.
Amen.
So we have to really spend time, yes, conversing with our Lord, but really spend time in silence, that interior silence, and listening to what our Lord wants to say to us. And he will let us know what he wants us to do if our heart is open to serve him.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And I love, too, like, for instance, that St. Michael the Archangel. You know, we have perpetual adoration. And many, many parishes throughout, you know, Atlanta area have that. So for any listeners out there that are wondering, what is Eucharistic adoration? How do you get to it? You know, at your parish, you know, go to your website, call the front office, find out if you guys have certain hours for Eucharistic adoration. And it's super simple. I mean, once you go, you just go. You can be still and pray the rosary. And just listen, as Greg is saying, because he does. He does speak to us when we are quiet and when our heart is open to listen. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, as I said, it's also just making that decision to take the time. Because a lot of people say they don't have time to do something. But Our Lady once said that the problem is not time, my children. The problem is love.
Amen.
Because whatever we love to do, we find the time to do.
That
so make that decision to go to pray, like we make a decision to make a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
That is the same thing. We make a decision to speak with our Lord, to go spend time with him. And if you do that, our Lord will meet you and he'll greatly bless you.
Oh, and I love that.
With many graces, yes.
And even putting it in a schedule, you know, I mean, put it in your calendar. This is my time. This is my 1 hour to be with Jesus. And just make it a part of a regular schedule, whether it's weekly, whether it's daily. You can't go wrong being in the presence of Christ. And I know different parishes have holy hours too. So if you want to be there giving Jesus, you know, at least 1 hour of your time a week, you can be a guardian at your parish as well.
Based on what you just said there, Allison, is that, you know, this person that started this whole display was Blessed Carlo Acutis, as many people know. And one of his famous sayings that he said was, standing before the Eucharist, we become holy.
Amen.
And that's because who we surround ourselves with affects who we are, who we become.
Yes.
So if I surround myself with good, virtuous people, people that go to Mass, people that pray, I'm going to start picking up some of those good habits.
Absolutely.
And who has all the best habits and who's given us all the virtues is our Lord.
Amen.
And who's present when we go to adoration is our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament.
And, you know, I think, too, can you not spend at least an hour with me? You know, when he was telling his apostles, you know, could just stay awake and just truly giving him an hour of our time. It's nothing, nothing. And everything he can give us is the world, holiness, happiness, guidance, you know, and just clarity of what he really wants us to be doing and what's going on in our life.
Yes. And through the Eucharist, we are united as the family of God. And that's what people have to remember, too. And you can pray for your family there. You can pray for your friends. We pray for the world. You say pray for peace. This is what I think the display helps to bring people to realize. Through these miracles, he's lifting the veil. He's letting people know that, yes, I am present. You can't see me, but I am there, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And when we go and sit in front of adoration, he is there in the same exact way.
Now, Greg, can you let us know how we can learn more about the approved Eucharistic miracles and what schools or parishes you might be coming to?
We have our website, which is Mary Our Mother, just like it sounds, maryourmother.org. And on our website, we have a section on there on the Vatican display. You'll see it right on the homepage. And if they would like to bring the display to their parish, they can contact us through our website. We are trying to get it to as many parishes as we can.
Well, Greg, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to speak with us today.
It's been a blessing, Allison. Thank you for asking me.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you especially to our Lord.
And we are so excited to say that this Saturday, September 28th through October the 2nd, these Eucharistic miracles are going to be at St. Francis of Assisi in Cartersville, Georgia. And there is a bonus. There is going to be a first-class relic of Blessed Carlo Acutis. So, wow, what an amazing experience that's going to be.
Real amazing.
Hi, I'm Father John Ricardo. Join me for Christ is the Answer today at noon. But now, let's return to the Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on AM 1160, The Quest.
We are back with the Morning Quest, and you might have heard that familiar voicing on, wait a minute, John Ricardo, Father John, is supposed to be on right now. Well, yes, he is being moved to noon for great reasons. One, to reach a whole new audience. Two, to incorporate our morning program. But we really think we're going to cast a wider net for Father John at that noon slot. He's pretty pumped about it. And three, let the guy sleep in a little bit, okay? He's working really hard. And speaking of hard work, you know, all hard work is really the fruit of God's grace. And someone who really helps unpack God's grace in our lives is Kathy McCormick, a dear friend and just incredible rock star at this station, who's going to unpack today's gospel for us. How are you, Kathy?
I'm great. I'm not sure I'm the rock star, but we're going to try. Thank you so much for inviting me to be here at the Morning Quest. It's a great idea to carve out some time each day to dive into the gospel. You know, the church in her wisdom has given us so many ways that we can meditate on scripture, and Lectio Divina is one of those ways. Mm-hmm. It's the practice of listening to scripture and being open mm-hmm. to the Holy Spirit in order to hear the word or phrase that the Lord wants you to hear in order to bring you closer to him through his word. Mm-hmm. So it's a good idea to dive into the gospel reading for today. I think that's a great way to build this up. See what the Lord has to say to us today. So the gospel is Luke 8:16-18. No one who lights a lamp conceals it with a vessel or sets it under a bed. Rather, he places it on a lampstand so that those who enter may see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not become visible, and nothing secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. To anyone who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he seems to have will be taken away. And that's the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Christ.
So, was there anything that kind of came out to you guys? Any thoughts or phrases or words that hit you?
I love this gospel reading to begin with, because I just think of when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, or if we are doing God's will, just being out there and being present in front of others. So whenever I hear this, I'm like, we cannot keep what we have inside. We are called to go out to wherever we are, whether it's a grocery store, whether it's the gas station, whether it's at a child's sporting event, mm-hmm. and just be that light to the world.
Yeah, most definitely be the light to the world.
Yep, absolutely. And I think, too, I mean, light really symbolizing like this truth, this wisdom, God's presence, right? And when we light a lamp, I mean, it takes a little work. It takes a cooperation with God's grace. I mean, look, the fuse is there. If we put the light on it, it'll light up, but it takes some action on our part. But when we do that, you know, that's the smallest step for God. Whatever that small step mm-hmm. is, he'll take three more steps towards us, right? Mm-hmm. And again, that is the witness that we get to bear forth in cooperation with God's grace, right? And so we really place ourselves in a position to be that light, and illuminate Christ's truth, you know, especially to let the gospel of his grace shine through us.
Right. And in this chapter, if we back up a little bit, and sometimes when we read scripture, you want to kind of see what went before the gospel, what went after, mm-hmm. why is the church picking this gospel? So in the chapter of Luke, chapter 8, the parable of the sower is presented, and then the disciples ask, could you explain what that's all about? And so, you know, it's the rocky ground and all that.
Yes.
And Jesus explains it. And then we are given this parable. And in a way, Jesus is really trying to explain how we should listen and respond to the word of God. When we hear the word, we must become light, mm-hmm. like you guys said. But we can't share what we don't have.
Amen.
So how do we hear the word of God? I think that when he says, take care then how you hear, that was one of the scripture verses in there, take care then how you hear. And that to me becomes a call to prepare myself to hear the gospel. And so when we go into Mass, how do we prepare ourselves to hear the gospel? Many times, I think that in the car. There's kids kind of...
Yes, there are.
kind of being a little rowdy or, you know, it's hard to sometimes quiet yourself in mass before listening to the scripture. But I think these are good questions to ask. When we're at mass, have we prepared ourselves to experience the presence of God in His Word? And I want to challenge everyone, all the listeners out there, that you can prepare yourself by sitting down and reading Scripture, reading the Gospels, reading the daily Word, and you can do that through so many materials. There's the Magnificat, the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops. Their website has the daily readings. There's so many ways that you can find the daily readings, and the Church in her wisdom has set that up, the Liturgy of the Word, so that we can walk through the Bible in 3 years. So really you need to prepare yourselves for that. How do you guys, do you
prepare?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Now working here, you know, just going through the scripture daily, that's the beautiful thing about this show.
Right.
I mean, we are going to be, you know, going over the gospel reading daily. So it has been amazing just listening to it and being in the Word. And I really just, when I hear it, it really just, my heart overflows, right? It's the Word of God. It's living. It is living Word. So it's beautiful. Now going to Mass, I do have three kids. So sometimes it might not be smooth sailing, but I make an effort when I go into the church and I sit down, I'm like, here I am, Lord, you know, you see everything, you know what's going on, here I am, to make myself present for Him. And that does help, because I know there are probably other moms out there that maybe come in frazzled sometimes. You need to be focused and get ready.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that you got to, Kathy, is really important, like emphasizing the importance of the soil in which things are planted. So there's a phrase in certain 12-step I've heard in a meeting where it's, I can either be a bright light or a dire warning, you know? And so sometimes people would rather see a sermon than hear one. But in our lives being, you know, congruent and consistent with Christ's call and His message, you know, people are actually seeing His light shine brightly through us. And one way to do that, obviously, through a sacramental rhythm, so important, daily mass, adoration, all the confession, all those great things. But am I really also doing an examination of conscience and cueing in on the character defects or perhaps certain vices, bad habits that really need to be addressed? Because those things dim the light, right? And as I hand those over to the Lord and take steps to, you know, hopefully eradicate or minimize those things, that light gets a lot brighter.
Yeah, I think sometimes, excuse me, scripture can be intimidating. And one of the things that the Lectio Divina helps is to not make it intimidating. We can all read scripture and gain something from it. And I think that's carving out the time to do that is extremely important. And doing that before Mass is even better.
Absolutely. Amen.
Absolutely beautiful. Well, Kathy, thank you so much for being here with us, diving into the Word.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
It's like that phrase. You don't always, the middle of your day is not always going to go well, but you can start it right and end it right. And you help us start
Amen.
It right.
Amen.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
From the Catholic News Agency. More maternity homes are popping up across the U.S. to house and support pregnant mothers and their babies since Roe v. Wade was overturned by the Supreme Court in 2022. According to the Maternity Housing Coalition's most recent report, there are now more than 450 maternity homes in the U.S. That's a 23% increase since the Dobbs decision overturned Roe. While the more than 5,300 pregnancy centers outnumber Planned Parenthood clinics 14-1, according to the Charlotte Lozier Institute, the more than 400 maternity homes in the U.S. meet a different need that pregnancy centers often can't fill, and that's safe housing for the moms and babies. Serbian judo world champion, I'll get this right, Nemanja Majdov was hit with a five-month ban by the International Judo Foundation, in part because he made the sign of the cross at this year's Olympic Games. In a statement posted to its website on Wednesday, the IJF, that's the International Judo Foundation, criticized what it said were numerous false claims and erroneous information that are currently circulating in the public domain. While the IJF admitted that Majdov was banned in part because he violated the league's rules on having made a clear religious sign on the field of play, the conference said he broke several other league directives as well. Specifically, Majdov refused to bow to his opponent at the end of the contest, and he also removed his judogi, I believe is how that's pronounced, in the field of play. That's the official uniform of judo. Majdov said, and I like this, "I did not want to apologize for the sign of the cross, and of course I did not, nor will I ever. The Lord has given me everything, both for me personally and for my career, and he is number one for me, and I am proud of that. And that will not change under any condition. Glory to him, and thanks for everything." Majdov is a Serbian Orthodox. And finally, from Catholic Vote, Kamala Harris has announced she will not attend the Al Smith dinner in New York on October 17th, which breaks a longstanding tradition. The nominees of both parties usually give humorous speeches at this event hosted by the Archdiocese of New York. The event raises money for children. Donald Trump is still slated to attend the 79th annual dinner.
It's Teresa Tomeo coming up at 9 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest. I'm inviting you to join me for Catholic Connection. But right now, let's turn to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic radio station.
It's 8:31.
We have a very special segment. We are thrilled to debut for you today, all about heroic saints in our faith, a saint spotlight segment. And who else could bring us home with this incredible information but our dear friend and the most renowned saint scholar I know, personally knows more about saints than anyone I've ever encountered, Chuck Persner. But you can call him the Chuck Stop. How are you, Chuck?
I'm good, Josh. But let me ask, how hard did you look when you were looking for someone who knew a lot about saints?
Just my immediate household.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, it's good to be first in something.
But I actually live by myself, by the way, so. No, you're number one, bro. You're the best of the best. All right. We are thrilled to have you.
Well, it's nice to be on your show. It's a joy. It's a pleasure. I'm so glad that you invited me in. I really can't think of a better saint to come out of the blocks with than the man we have today. You know, to call a member of the communion of saints great, well, I mean, that's akin to saying that the sun is hot or water is wet, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, as I like to say, Josh, it's from the Department of the Redundancy Department. But these are, in fact, terms that, you know, every day, every year, I should say, on September 23rd, we do celebrate what I would consider to be one of the really true great saints, because, you know, when you talk about Saint Padre Pio, who we're going to talk about today, he just seems to elicit a uniquely special reaction amongst the people when you bring his name up. Mm-hmm. You just get a different type of reaction, different kind of vibe.
Yes.
You know? And the challenge is, how do you fit his life into a 6-minute segment? You know, we were talking about it before the air. Did we talk about the fact that he could read souls? He could bilocate. The stigma. We have to talk about the stigmata, of course, yes. Right? That's really what he was known for 50 years. And I know, Josh, you have some information on his life, starting at the age of 15, as I recall.
Yes, at the age of 15, Francesco entered the novitiate of the Capuchin Friars of Marcone. There we go. He took the name Pio in honor of Pope Pius I. In 1910, he became a priest. The 20th of September in the year 1918, Padre Pio noticed the stigmata, visible wounds of Christ on his hands and feet, as well as his side. In 1947, Carl Wojtyla visited Padre Pio, who promptly told him he would rise to the highest position in the church. And in 1978, Carl Wojtyla, Father Carl Wojtyla, became Pope John Paul II, who was also officiating his canonization mass. Is that correct?
That is in fact correct. And it was a beautiful service. I had over 100,000 people. I think it was over 300,000 people.
It sure was. Appeared. The event drew over 300,000 people to St. Peter's Square. You know, and Pope John Paul II said to the great stigmatist that his life was a witness to the glory of the cross. Whereas the world flees from the cross, St. Padre Pio embraced his opting instead to flee to Jesus and Mary for the assistance intercession. You know, he would explain in those in his midst and under his care that the Lord sometimes make you feel the weight of the cross. Although the weight seems intolerable, you are able to carry it because the Lord, in his love and mercy, extends a hand to help you carry it. What a beautiful, beautiful quote.
It really is. And in fact, I'd heard something in a homily the other day, and I actually wrote it down on a similar vein about the cross, and wherein the priest said, the cross of our Savior Jesus Christ is still the greatest contradiction in the world, still to this day. All right, but he said, you know, only in faith can we even comprehend this, access the meaning of the cross in our lives. And, you know, suffering is not something our world really talks a lot about. We don't place it in high esteem. Mm-hmm. But yet the saints knew, and St. Padre Pio knew for 50 years, to have the pain of the stigmata. And, you know, he almost he was so humble that he was almost embarrassed by it and didn't like to draw attention to it. Yet there weren't many throughout the history of our church or in the world that, that even had this.
Wow. And what's interesting is you think, oh, wow, what a holy roller. This guy must have had a smooth sailboat, right? But going back to what Mother Angelica actually said, it's this quote I have of her, if you've got a cross, carry it. It's going to make you holy. Mm-hmm. It's to make you holy, essentially. So if you have a cross, carry it. It's to make you holy. Yeah. And Padre Pio, this idea that he actually embraced and ran to his suffering, really ran to Mary and Jesus during these times rather than running from what was in, you know, the persecutions. I mean, this is someone who is radically holy, and he experienced intense persecutions because of that holiness. I mean, people thought he was crazy. He was, you know, sensational, all these things. I mean, he had his faculties were greatly minimized during, like, for like 9 years. I don't think he was allowed to say mass or hear confessions.
Yeah, that's true. Well, the saints are countercultural, if you think about it.
Yeah.
By their very nature, they all are. They're just, they're so different, and they stand out in that way. And, you know, his devotion to Mary, which you touched on, Josh, you know, all the great saints seem to have a great devotion to Mary.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have a lot of non-Catholic listeners here at the Quest. It's been estimated that half our listeners aren't even Catholic. So it is important to point out that we don't worship Mary.
Correct.
But we do hold her in that particular esteem. We seek her intercession as the Queen of Saints. You know, as a friend of mine likes to say, she takes our intentions and she brings them right before the throne of God. It's a quick trip to the top with Mary. You know?
Amen. And she's always pointing to her son, pointing to Jesus.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which we're all called to do, the obedience, the humility, the same qualities that St. Padre Pio had. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd love to talk to about this idea of spiritual children and St. Padre Pio's promise to anyone who comes to him. And once again, Jesus is our only mediator. It's not that St. Padre Pio is taking his place. He is pointing to our Lord and his promise. And I think, Allison, you have a quote regarding his promise as it relates to spiritual children.
I shall stand at the gates of paradise until all my spiritual children have entered. Wow. So having a devotion to him, calling on his intercession, you know, lifting us up in prayer. And again, he's a prayer partner to us. That's ultimately what the saints are, prayer partners.
Absolutely. And a few other things he had to say about spiritual children. He said, I love my spiritual children as much as my own soul and even more.
Wow.
That's another quote.
Wow.
And he says, once I take a soul on, this is a great promise, I also take on their entire family as my spiritual children. And, you know, I think of that. I always ask him to take on family members. I'll sometimes be at Mass, at daily Mass, and I'll say, I'll look over and I'll see someone maybe by themselves. I'll say, St. Pio, please take this person on as their spiritual child. And I certainly keep him busy. I can promise you that. I wear his medal. And in fact, this medal that I wear of St. Padre Pio, I gave it to my father at the very tail end of his life on Christmas.
Wow.
A number of years ago, he was suffering terribly through a bout of stomach cancer. And he wore the medal on December 25th because he and I grew to have a strong devotion to St. Padre Pio, and he died about 9 or 10 days later. And after he did pass away, I put it on, and I now wear it in honor of him.
Oh, wow, Chuck, that's beautiful.
And, again, one of those saints that he brings out emotions in people. When you talk about them, you see their faces light up when his name comes up.
Well, and the beautiful quote, too, pray, hope, and don't worry. That's what Padre Pio would say, and often he would say, worry is useless. So on that note, let us take that to heart.
Popular quote, most famous quote.
Yeah. Well, Chuck, thank you so much for being here with us, a parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel Catholic Church in Woodstock. We are so grateful to have you here with us, inspiring us with our saint of the day.
All right. Thank you.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
And Dave, too.
I love it.
And Dave.
We're going to do a new... Well, actually, everything we're doing here is new. But it's a new feature. It's called Monday Memes. And basically what I do, I just go through internet, different social media things, and pick out some memes that they have and that are maybe inspiring, maybe mm-hmm. funny, maybe whatever.
We're the meme team.
Yes, the meme team. Mm-hmm. Here's the first one. It's a quote from Celine Dion. I owe my life to the Catholic priest who convinced my mom not to abort me.
Oh, whoa. Wow.
Yeah. Now, here again, let me just put this caveat in there. I don't know that she really said that. I would imagine she did. but you know, you can't prove the accuracy of a meme, I suppose. So I should have looked that one up before I said it.
Well, now that you said that, I need to start taking pictures of celebrities and putting my own quotes beneath them.
Exactly.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Here's another one. The longest conversation Jesus had in the Bible was with a broken woman at a well. It's a reminder that Jesus meets us in our brokenness, takes time for us, and offers healing, restoration, and hope. No one's too far gone for his love and attention.
Amen.
Oh, I didn't know that. That'll preach right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about that?
That's wow. Pretty rocking.
Here's a good quote from St. Padre Pio. This is strong. This is powerful. If men only appreciated the value of a holy mass, they would need traffic officers at church doors every day to keep the crowds in order.
Wow.
Wow.
How about that, huh?
I mean, seriously, we need to... That is a witness, right? I mean,
oh, yes.
I heard Matthew Kelly talk about if you told everyone there was $10,000 beneath their pew seat, mm-hmm. the church would be packed. And he said, and yet we have something far more valuable.
Yes.
And no, you know, and, yeah, and yeah. still it's dimly attended. So, I mean, it should be like a soccer stadium, attended like a soccer stadium, yeah. more like less like traffic court.
Got
you know, yes.
out there directing traffic. Yes. Absolutely. Sometimes I joke about what I'd do if I had one day left to live, eat junk, go crazy, etc. Today it hit me. Jesus knew, and he washed feet.
Serving.
Mm-hmm.
We are How about called to that? Serve, yes.
And I'll wrap it up on this one. The oldest computer was owned by Adam and Eve. It was an Apple with very limited memory, just one byte, and everything crashed.
Wow.
Wow. How about that?
There you go. You got kids because that is, you got a PhD in dad jokes. I can tell. That is good stuff.
We love Dave.
Matt Swaim here. Join Anna Mitchell and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160, The Quest. But for now, let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Sunny to partly cloudy today, high of 92. Currently, it's 69 at 8:46.
The brilliant and very holy Father Mark White, who is the pastor of St. Joseph's in Washington, Georgia, as well as Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia. We are so grateful to have you here, Father.
Yeah, great to be here. Brilliant. I don't know about that. Or holy. But I'm glad to be here.
Well, they were your words, mine. So... Allison, I believe you had a burning question on your heart for Father Mark White. Would you like to tee it up?
I do, Father. I do. So, question for you. I've heard people call the Mass a worship service. Is it okay for us to call that?
You know, I think I hear that too, and I think a lot of people don't intend anything bad by saying that. But I think the thing that always comes to mind for me when I hear that is, oh, wow, this is so much more than a worship service. You know, Mass really involves... offering sacrifice to God. You know, it kind of looks back to the Old Testament where the worshiper, if you remember this, would offer something valuable to himself. You know, and animals were so important those days. That's part of the reason they did that. And this symbolized, though, the person kind of offering or his or her heart to God. You know, the Old Testament, God's really trying to show his people, what I really want is not your stuff. I want your hearts. I want your lives. That's what the Lord had denied him from Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't give that gift of love of themselves to God. So Jesus comes and fulfills the Old Testament and kind of what he makes it finally and definitively possible for people to truly and most fully love God and express this love in kind of a complete offering of oneself to God through the Mass. In this respect, the Mass kind of enables us by making Christ's perfect sacrifice of love to the Father present on the cross to enter into it, that it would cleanse us and set us apart, and then in turn enable us to offer ourselves through and with Christ, through and in and with Christ to the Father, to be and become the people God created us to be, people of love, joy, and sacrifice, where kind of this sacrificial love comes to define and form every area of our lives. As St. Paul says in Scripture, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. So that's just so much more, to answer your question, than a worship service. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, we worship God, but when we say worship service, we can make it like every other church, and we don't want to, you know, diminish our products, brothers and sisters, but we have to proclaim the distinctiveness and the beauty of the liturgy, of the Mass, that it is something truly transcendent and amazing, and what a gift. So.
Amen.
That's incredibly powerful. I love what you said, too. I mean, really, first off, that was such a remarkable explanation of the Mass in general, but also this touchstone that you really talked about, which is through Christ's sacrifice, and I think you were getting there, it's like we also become a sacrifice, right?
That's right.
So yeah. I think about that St. Francis prayer, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Right. And I just hear what you're saying is through uniting with our Lord in the Eucharist, it's like you are what you eat.
Yeah.
And no, we start to look a little more like him. So I love, you're talking about his sacrifice, but it doesn't just end there. It actually allows us to go out and be in love sacrificially.
That's right. You live the Eucharistic life, right? Yeah. Which is a life of sacrificial love. You know, we forget that, you know, for all eternity, the Father has been giving himself entirely as a gift to the Son. The Son returns that gift, and the gift between them, the self they exchange, is the Holy Spirit. So we're entering into that sacrificial love because God is love. You know, we don't say he's just loving or he loves, but he is love. So we enter into that. So people always would say, oh, well, the Mass, you know, you go to Mass, you got to do that. And then you go out and you love people. I'm like, no, the Mass is perfect love. Mm-hmm. And we go out and live that love, you know, and we live it really by dying to ourselves and loving others, you know. So we're even living the Paschal mystery in a sense. So that's why the liturgy is so relevant to our daily lives. We've kind of, the way we talk about it, sometimes we make it distinct, but it, you know, we have to have the liturgy and then we have to live it.
Well, and I think the domestic church, our families, talking about sacrificial love, I mean, a lot of that takes place at home.
That's right. That's right. Having children, you can't, you know, you talk about dying to yourself, getting married, talk about dying to yourself. I mean, it's a great gift, but it's hard work and it requires everything of you. But then you get in return so much when you do that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, true life.
So when you talk about this sacrificial love, I think some people, because there's a multitude of sides to it. I mean, you sometimes there are these moments of extreme consolation. We leave and we go out and we go, man, sure, I just feel God's love profoundly. But other times we walk out and there's still a cross to bear.
Sure, absolutely.
And what would your words be to somebody who maybe is in that position where they're in Mass and they're serving, they're trying to unite Eucharistically with the Lord, you know, they are, but they walk out and there's still the cross. What consolations would you tell them, especially within the framework of the Mass, that gives their suffering meaning?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think part of it is, you know, our teaching on redemptive suffering, you know, that love is to will the good of the other for the sake of the other, but that often that love is not returned, or we may not have feelings when we do it. Yeah. But there's still meaning in it. I think one of the things you have to do is help yourself to believe that in the moment. God, help me to believe that there's meaning in this. Give me the grace to get through it. Help me to see you're using it for good. To pray, to turn to the Lord in that moment, to be honest about your feelings. And it's okay to say, I don't want to do this. But I know it's meaningful. I know it's the best thing I can do in this moment. I know it's the truth for me today. And I also know that in some mystical way that I can't really know, this is going to bring about good in my life and this person's life. You know, because I think part of it is the feeling part, which we love in our culture. We love feelings, which feelings are part of our life. But they're often not there when we're loving another person. And that's okay. It still matters. It's still love. If I know this is what I'm supposed to do for that person and how I'm supposed to relate to these people and how I'm supposed to behave in this situation, then there's so much meaning in it because it's God's will. And he'll use it for good. Even if the feelings don't come for a long time or maybe for years. But, you know, God will give us some consolations to keep us going.
You know,
and we can ask for those, too.
Yeah, so. And it makes me think of Saint Mother...
Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa. Absolutely. I mean, how long did she not feel the presence of God? Holy, holy woman, but still serving.
Yeah, no, a great, great comment, because she actually, this was decades, and she came to understand it and was able to go forward in it. Because she realized that these were the sufferings of Jesus.
Wow.
So when we really believe and we love him in that way, we want to share in every part of his life. And there's a lot of suffering in his life. Yeah. So that's another aspect. I'm one with God. And so if I know he's with me and I know this is, you know, I'm carrying the cross with him in these moments, that gives me the grace to endure. When it's just like meaningless or, you know, he's not there and I'm just going through this, makes it so much harder.
Thank you, Father Mark White, for reminding us that nothing done for God is done in vain.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's an honor. We are back. We are back, Quest friends and fans, and we are getting to the tail end of our inaugural broadcast. We are so honored that you would join us for this monumental event. I mean, this, you're watching saints be born. You're welcome, okay? With that being said, Allison, do you have a teaser of what's coming up tomorrow?
Well, you know what? Well, today. I just kind of want to go what's happening today for all those that can hear and listen and to join in. So, again, I want to remind everybody, September 28th or October 2nd, September 28th is this Saturday. The Eucharistic Miracles display is going to be at St. Francis of Assisi in Cartersville, Georgia. And, again, that first class relic of Blessed Carlo Acutis will be there, which is super-duper exciting. Coming up on the station after our show at 9, Catholic Connection. There's going to be a guest host, Sherry Brownrigg. She is going to be talking with Tom Lynch about a sneak peek of the look at the film Heart of a Servant, the Father Flanagan story. Wow. That's coming up. Also, Greg and Lisa Popchek, their wonderful topic today, parenting puzzlers. You know, do you have any parenting questions? They are going to help us parents navigate all of that, which is a great, great time. Journey Home, all of those that have come into the faith that were Protestant or non-Catholic or fallen away Catholics, that's going to be on at 11. And at noon, we are going to have lunch with Father John Ricardo, and he is going to be talking about confirmation, but he's going to blend in so many different ways of understanding it. He is absolutely amazing.
And no need to pack a lunch because he will be feeding you spiritually.
Amen. He always does. So, and I know you have something exciting coming up, John.
Yes, tomorrow I am actually going to do stand-up comedy and speak at a pro-life pregnancy resource center fundraiser in Fordyce, Arkansas. So
wow.
I'm really excited about that. It's just such a gift to be able to share my experience there and also bring some laughs as well. And one other cool thing is we're going to show a video testimonial of somebody that our ministry helped choose life. And it's just such a gift to be able to share that gospel, especially now, because let's be real, look at society. We need it more than ever.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I love how you use the gifts that God has given you.
Thank you.
Anywhere, wherever he calls you. I mean, Arkansas.
Yeah, who knew, right? So it's going to be pretty exciting, and I believe I will be doing my best to planning on broadcasting remotely tomorrow, so I'll be jamming with you guys one state over and 1 hour behind you guys, but we will still be finding joy in the journey. I'm looking forward to that. And with that being said, why don't we just say this? Let's close in a quick prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. God, thank you so much for this time together. I pray you help us leave this broadcast and be lights on a hill like you've called us to be. St. Padre Pio.
Pray for us.
In Jesus' name. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.